Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Mayo Buckner, A Life Interrupted, will be performed at the Siegel Festival in Scroon Lake, New York on August 6th through the 9th. And we are very happy to have folks from the Siegel Festival here to tell us about this production. They're presenting the second ever production of this new opera by one of the most performed contemporary opera composers alive today. The opera is based on the tragically true story of a young boy, Mayo, committed to the Iowa Home for the Feeble-Minded in 1898. Despite Mayo's repeated request to be released, it was not until 1957, when he was 67, he was properly tested and found to have an above-average IQ. The production is a venture of the American Center for New Works Development at Siegel Festival. To learn more, we welcome opera composer Tom Trapullo. Tom, welcome. Thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure, Joe. Thanks for having me.
A great honor to have you on the program. We also welcome our good friend, artistic director of the Siegel Festival, Darren Woods. Wonderful to see you again.
Good to be back, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being with us. You were telling me just before we went on that you've been along for this ride for a long time. So what has it been like for you? And just give us a sense of the timeline of watching all this come together.
Sure. I produced Tom's first opera, Glory Denied, in Fort Worth back in 2013, I believe. And after that big success in recording it, we remained friends. And I was in New York and we had dinner and he said, "Let me play you an aria from an opera that I'm just thinking about doing." So he played me the first aria that Mrs. Buckner sings after she gives Mayo up at the Iowa School for Feeble-Minded Children. And from that, I just sort of watched it happen. I was on the Pellicciotti panel when Tom won the commission to finish this, and I was at the world premiere at Crane School of Music, and that was always my desire to do it. And last year, you know, I always plan the season based on some of the singers that I know are going to come back. And I knew I was going to have somebody who could sing Mayo really spectacularly and somebody who could sing Valeria. And all the pieces came together. And I called Tom and said, "Can I do this?" And he said, "Yes, please." And so that's how we got there.
And you remember it similarly, I assume.
I do. I remember it exactly that way.
What is it like? I'm curious of the germ of the idea of what struck you to say, okay, this is something that I, to even to write that aria in the first place.
It is a crazy idea. You know, I know a lot of composers who do wonderful work setting novels that we know, famous novels, to music. But I had no interest in that. I always wanted to tell a real story about people who were alive during my lifetime.
Right.
I think opera has to tell those true stories about American life if it's not going to become a museum, if it's going to continue. So my first opera was about a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And this one, going back and having a look at the eugenics movement, which I always thought of as something that came from Nazi Germany, but it has a tragic history in the United States that we should remember as well.
And once you have that in telling the story of making it be poignant but also entertaining and beautiful at the same time, without what I'm trying not to say is, but I will say it, without bumming everybody out.
Yeah.
Right. And this, on the face of it, it sounds like a very depressing story.
Yes.
But it's not at all. It is, there's some tragedy to it.
Triumphant at the end, right.
I think it is triumphant in the end because this person, whom I sort of fell in love with, I created him partially out of my imagination, but also based on this Life magazine article from 1958, this person managed to carve out a life of meaning and purpose, despite being in these very difficult circumstances. And in this opera, at least, he influences and helps other people, and that becomes the purpose of his life.
When you say in this opera, so you give yourself a certain amount of dramatic license to move in a direction that you want to move in that works for the story of the opera.
Well, I'm sort of like a Hollywood biographer, you know. They always distort the truth to tell a good story. In opera, we have to be entertaining. People come after a big dinner. They're exhausted all day. The lights go out. The first thing they want to do is go to sleep. So we have to find a way to keep them awake, to get them interested and to be riveted by the characters. We're always looking for variety, and the audience always has to be forefront in our mind.
So talk a little bit when it comes to this performance of the variety.
Oh, well, this is a wonderful, wonderful production. Only Siegel could mount something like this, I think, in this particular way. The production is so lively, and the young people who have so much energy, and they bring so much enthusiasm and commitment to it. The roles are very difficult, very challenging from an acting point of view, as well as musically. So they really have to be devoted to it. But Darren has assembled an incredible team, and the kids have brought their hearts open. And so I think it's fair to say we're all having a wonderful time.
One of the things I really love about the story and the opera itself is that in the article, and Tom has told me this many times, that he saw that this young man, Mayo, had a girlfriend. And in the interrogation, they say, well, you know, were you ever alone with her? And he said, yes, sometimes we held hands. And then she meets a tragic end. But the fact that that moment was another spark to create this beautiful aria that Valeria sings, and to have a moment where Mayo and Valeria imagine what their home life will be if they could ever escape and be married. And like Tom says, he becomes the big brother to the little boys. Then he becomes a boyfriend to this girl who sings, I never thought a boy would love me. And then when he finds out that he can leave, he basically says, where will I go? And yet, at the end of the opera, it's this beautiful, triumphant moment where you realize that this man has figured out a way to have a happy life, even under this really, really terrible situation. And if you're afraid of a new opera, this is one of the most tuneful, beautiful, melodic. They're real arias, just like Puccini would write, and you're really going to enjoy that.
Oh, tell me about I'm interested in this. Tell me about people who are afraid of new opera.
A lot of people are afraid of new opera because, you know, back in the day when I was singing new opera, it was all atonal and dissonant, and composers were afraid to write a tune. Tom is not afraid to write a tune. And most of the people, if you come to Siegel and know the American opera that I produce, I like composers who can write a tune and you can go out humming something or at least have something in your ear that sounds familiar. Tom can tell you he was, you know, raised on Sinatra and Puccini, and his father was a big band player. So he's got a lot of American pop music and a big band music in his oeuvre, right?
I would say that's fair. I'm afraid of new opera, so I have to react that way. Of my works, this is one of the most musical theater-ish, if I can use that term, because it seeks to have that immediacy and that freedom. And I love a good tune.
Do you ever have to check yourself and say, "Oh, this is veering in a direction that I didn't want it to musically, or even in the performance?"
Constantly.
Really?
I mean, not so much in the performance; it's already done.
Well, sure.
But when I'm writing a piece, you know, opera's such a deadly beast. There's a million ways for it to go wrong, and only a couple ways for it to go right. That's why it's so challenging, and it's the challenge that's so appealing.
I'm interested so far in our brief conversation. You have said that it's a deadly beast and that your job is just to keep people from falling asleep. but there's something about the art form that you love, obviously.
When it's good.
Yeah,
there's nothing like it. And it's the way it combines all the art forms, the grandiosity of it, the ambition of it. And I have to say, I don't think there's anything more beautiful in the world than a really gorgeous soprano voice singing pianissimo on a high note, not screaming, but that beautiful sound they make when they're floating on the air and your heart breaks.
Tom said this, and I'm interested in your thoughts on it, Darren, about that only Siegel could mount something like this. And I'm, what does that say about Siegel and the performers and the team that you put together?
The team is extraordinary, and I'm a very lucky producer in that I hire really smart, talented people and say this is my vision for a piece, and they just make it happen. We get the first pick of the greatest young singers in the country. So Tony and I do a 5 to 7 town tour to pick these singers. We had this year, since COVID, before COVID, we had around 800 applicants a year. This year we had around 500, but out of that 500 comes only 30 people. And so they are the most extraordinary young singers. They're people that won't get a chance to do something like this at the university level. So we really challenge them with everything that we do every day. We don't teach from no, we teach from yes. And so they believe from the beginning that they can do it. But they're just extraordinary singers. Richard Kagey has been there for many years, our director of production, and I gave this to him because he had a vision of this piece that was much different than the original production. So this is more, I would say, impressionistic in the telling. It's more episodic, and we believe that that's what Tom wrote. And we were anxious last night for him to see it for the first time and see what we had done with the piece. And happily, everybody, he liked it, so that's good on us. And we're also, like, we're going to talk to Tom afterwards and talk about what we felt worked really great for a piece, because a piece is always living. You know, Puccini revised Madame Butterfly like 5 or 6 times before we got the butterfly that we see today. I think the piece is almost perfect, and we're going to talk about a couple of things that might be tweaked, but I just have loved this piece from the beginning, and I knew the voices in my head that I wanted to sing it, and we were lucky enough to find it. The hard thing was we needed 2 Mayos, and I only had one in mind when I got it. So on the audition tour, I think we were in Philadelphia, and the other Mayo walked in the door and sang. We're like, oh, thank you, God. That's taken care of now. So okay. We can do the piece. Yeah.
You say we don't teach from no, we teach from yes. What happens inevitably if you have to say no?
What I usually say is, that's a really interesting choice, and maybe we can make a different choice, or we can make a better choice. Sometimes with the tessitura, it's really high for the baritone. And so, you know, the voice teacher will say, you know, that eval, you're having a little tough time with that. Why don't we go in the studio and see if we can make that eval better? But we always want them to believe that whatever the resources they have at hand right now is enough, that what they've got is enough. We're here to help them grow and make it better, but always in a positive light. I just don't like, you know, no, you can't do that. I've got to rework everything. This is going to be hopeless. It's never hopeless. It's always got to be something that we can help them go forward.
It seems that you must be a brave person to go into a room and hear something for the first time and just not know how it's going to go and think to yourself. I mean, to me, that would be akin to going to my own funeral and hearing people comment about my life.
My own funeral. Well, you know, when you're the composer, you always think you're the bride at the wedding or the corpse at the funeral, depending on how it turns out.
So last night you felt like the bride.
Last night I felt like I was a bride.
That's great.
It's not as terrifying as you think. Yeah, it can be. But, of course, I had a lot of confidence in Darren. Darren is my lucky charm. He took my opera, Glory Denied, and it took off after they did it in Fort Worth. So it went on to have a very long life.
It became the most performed 21st century opera in the world for about 5 years.
I don't want to over-romanticize this, but it seems, to me, it would be thrilling to see young people thrive in an environment like the one that Darren was describing.
Well, look, I'm an old man. I hate to admit this to everyone over the radio. I'm old, and when you're old, you love to be around young people.
Sure.
You love to see their energy, and I'm like a vampire. I take it from them as I watch them. And I feel young again. Every musician, of course, when they're young, they go through the training process that involves summer festivals. It's that, you know, the happiest days of your life, and the time when great, great friendships are made. And so when you're around them again for a brief period, I become young again. And it's fun to pass on lessons. You know, we were having a little challenge with part of Mayo because it's so unreasonable what it asks for some of these singers. It goes very, very high. And I had the pleasure of telling a young singer, remember, it's a composer's job to make you sound good. It's nice to be faithful to the score, but that's my job, to make you sound good on stage. We have to work together to do that. And it's thrilling to pass on that lesson, and hopefully the young people will remember it for their professional careers.
It is Mayo Buckner, A Life Interrupted, which will be performed at the Siegel Festival in Scroon Lake, New York, on August 6th through the 9th. Tom Ciappullo is the opera composer. Darren Woods is the artistic director of Siegel Festival. You can find out more information by going to siegelfestival.org, siegelfestival.org. And again, August 6th through the 9th in Scroon Lake. It sounds all beautiful.
Thanks so much for having us, yeah.
Thank you so much for, first of all, for making the trek down, but also for bringing this beautiful work to us and for sharing the stories. I really appreciate it. Be well. Congratulations.
Thanks
so much, Jim.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.